Okay, good evening. Welcome to Home Group. We are live again after a couple of weeks off. Seems like something happened in the world and in the news. And so we've taken the last 2 weeks off on Wednesday evening. And wow, what a time we had here on the network. Brother Copeland was on and he shared with us what the things we're facing and how to deal with this and how to not be in fear, but to be in faith. But we're live again tonight on Home Group. In case you want to know, my name is Greg Stevens. I want to thank you for being with us today. It's still the way it works. If you've never watched Home Group before, it's a home Bible study that you're part of. And I have an iPad right here in my hand. You can interact with us if you have questions or comments. It's 682-302-1301. If you want to text it, in the United States, 682-302-1301. If you're on Facebook, Facebook Live, you can just type this in. So now how's all this happening? Well, because of the situation we find ourselves in right now in the world, all of our call screeners and moderators are off-site at home, and they are connecting in this wonderful technology. They're connecting with me here. In case you want to know, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's 8 people in this studio. All of the cameras are run robotically, and there's less people even in the control room. Isn't this wonderful that we're being compliant with what the government asks us to do? But we want you to be a part of it. We do have guests. We have 4 guests that are with us, besides my wife, Michelle, that's with me. But to be compliant and to keep our social distancing from one another. Hello over there! Lauren and Quest Gatlin are with us.
Yeah.
But we have our distance, so we're breaking it up. You guys will be the first half, and then the Pierces will be on the second half. Wonderful program tonight. Please be part of it. Interact with us, questions, comments. We're kind of talking about things that have been in the news a little bit, but let me just share with you about something from the Word of God, if I could, because I saw this over in Exodus chapter 12, and I want to read this. This is about Passover. Passover is April the 8th on a Wednesday night, by the way. Look at this. He's giving them the instructions to take a lamb and to go into their house. And he says this in verse 22 of Exodus chapter 12. He says, "You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood in the basin, strike the lintel and the 2 side posts with the blood in the basin. And none of you," listen to this, "none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning." God had his people shelter in faith. I didn't say shelter in place. I said they sheltered in faith. And when the death angel came, he says in verse 26, "It shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you," he said, what are we doing this for? Why are we doing this? "When your children shall say unto you, what you mean this by this service," because you're going to do this every year. He says, "This you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, while he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses." Did you hear that word? He delivered our houses. Mm-hmm. Verse 28, "And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they." In other words, the pastor did it too. You see this?
Yeah.
They all did it. And the death angel came upon, if the Egyptians would have done that and stayed in their house, they would have been saved too, because it was the blood. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And I believe prophetically that there's going to be a great Passover in America this year.
Praise God.
I've got my faith out for that. And I'm going to show you some other places. I'll just mention it to you.
Yeah.
I asked the Lord, I said, "So where else did we see the body of Christ sheltering in place?" Well, Noah's Ark.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They sheltered in place until what was on the earth was done with.
Wow.
David did it on more than one occasion. The upper room.
The upper room.
Go tarry. Yeah. Jesus had
Stay
them
there.
Tarry
literally
in place.
Yeah.
Don't leave until the Holy Ghost power comes upon you.
Yes.
So guys, this is nothing new for the body of Christ. It may be new for the church in America, but our Father's done this before.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something right now. We're coming out of this thing a different church.
Amen.
That's right.
I believe it.
That's
and so, right. Quest, you are the youth pastor.
Yeah.
Well, both of you. You're the youth pastors
yeah.
for what we have here at Eagle Mountain Church called 1440. Tell me what 1440 is.
So 1440 is, of course, it's the youth ministry for Eagle Mountain Church and Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And one of the number one questions I get asked concerning 1440 is, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, 1440 means there's 1,440 minutes a day.
It's not 54?
No, believe it or not. Yeah, believe it or not. And it really, you know, our mandate really is to see a generation live every minute, every day, all for God's glory. And so we're seeing that happen in a variety of ways. And so it's exciting. This is an interesting time.
We can't. Now, how many youngins do you have at home? I don't mean that. That sounds rude.
But no, not at all.
When I turn around, it's like you've got a whole football team. It seems like it's How many?
Yeah.
Okay, you got twins.
We've got twins. So five total.
Five total.
So our oldest is 11. And then we've got six-year-old. I keep forgetting, just turned six. Six-year-old, a three-year-old, and then two twins.
And so everybody's at home right now.
Everybody's at home.
Bless you.
Eating up all the Cheetos and stuff. Crazy.
So what do you do? Are they aware of what's happening?
I think to some extent they are. Of course, the younger ones, they don't totally get it. Well, you know, can't even spell quarantine, let alone explain what it means. But I think our oldest daughter gets it to some capacity. I don't think she understands the magnitude of it, but, you know, she does.
I don't think so either, but...
I don't think she understands the magnitude of it, but...
So are they having fun?
Yes.
Or are they... Well, did it start off rough, or...
No, not at all. I mean, they're having fun. I think here's the deal. You know, we had prayer requests come in from 1440 students who were literally saying, I'm stuck at home with my family. You've got to pray for me.
I'm bored.
Yeah, I'm bored. I find myself, you know, just clashing with your siblings or whatever the case may be. And so, yeah, they have their moments where they're learning to love, to walk in love. And whatnot, but it also creates really good prayer targets and prayer points for us as a family. So even if our children don't totally understand the aspect of a virus and what staying at home and stop the spread, what all this stuff means, it still allows us to lead our family in a way that is, of course, culturally relevant in terms of what's going on at the time. But it's interesting, and really, I think really our oldest is the one that we got to continue to coach, and she's in 1440, and so.
So what are you guys doing?
Yeah, so basically what we're doing, so during this time, obviously we can't meet in person, and so what we've started to do is we said, you know, listen, you can't come to church, but church can come to you. And so what we did was, is we, right out the gate, we started recording programs that young people can watch from home.
Can you show us? Let's take a little short clip and then you come back. And
absolutely.
Watch this.
Praise God. Yeah. So we've got, and you're going to be able to see more and more, but we've got program for your teenagers to watch every Sunday, 9 a.m. It's going to air live on Facebook. We'll premiere it on Facebook. But also you can go to emic.org/virtualchurch and replay replay a lot of those videos and footage. And I'm not going to speak for them, but Super Kids has amazing content as well. And I want you to get on. I think there's no better time to find ways to be intentional about plugging your kids into ministry and making sure that the same way we used to get dressed and head over to church, well, now we're all meeting in the living room together, whatever that looks like, taking communion together, praying together, things of that nature.
That's the way the early church started, isn't
it? That's exactly
So we're looking at a little of it. Tell me what we're looking at here.
So, of course, this is part of the intro, but what I would encourage you guys to do is get in and watch what
there
we're
you
talking
are.
About. There I am, handsome as ever.
And
Aubrey?
So here's what I wanted to point out. What's so cool is we'll bring in special guests, and even though, of course, we can't always be there physically, we've got clips from Aubrey, we've got clips from Pastor David Winston and Chris Estrada, a lot of our Southwest speakers that have come in and out. So it's kind of a cool way to kind of bring out a lot of that footage again, to sort of stir back in on the Word, things of that nature. But what we're doing is we're pointing teenagers back to the Word, even if they're stuck at home, even if you can't make it to church, that's okay. We're going to figure out what we can do using technology, just like we're doing today, to get into your phone, to get on your laptop and gather as a family.
That's pretty heavy hitter.
Yeah.
So it's like youth service.
That's exactly
right. Without coming here.
That's exactly right.
Now, any of you can do that. You can do that even if you don't go to EMIC. Well, guess what? Youth group just came to you. And, you know, there's a lot of people, Quest, that do that, don't they? Like, yeah. You go into a camp or summer retreat. There's a lot of people that are
right.
partners that mm-hmm. that their teenagers go with us.
That's right. So this not only benefits the students at Eagle Mountain, but
yeah.
partner churches all over America whose doors are closed, which is a very big deal, as you know. And so
something I really want us to tackle, and I heard a news report. We haven't confirmed all of this, but I trust the producers that the voices in my head, I call it, I have an earpiece and they talk to me, that the number of cases of child abuse has gone up
yeah.
since people have been in position. How do I deal with that? A parent's frustration.
I don't know if it's yeah. so much as that is causing, that frustration is causing it, but that school was a safe place for kids to be away from those already abusive parents. And so now that we're all forced to stay home, they're forced to be in that abusive environment. And so we just have to pray for them.
But well, and pressures have changed, don't you think?
Exactly
so the pressure on the parent is different now. So
yes.
whether they have a job or don't, and they're at home not knowing how things are going to, you know, so I can see where tension, the enemy yeah. could step foot in a household mm-hmm. and try to, you know, cause division and different things in
yeah.
their lives. You
yeah.
know, it does affect the whole family.
Michelle's an sure. administrator at a high school.
Yeah.
And we're home. So our son is attending class.
Yeah.
And some of the teachers are teaching classes, virtually. But they have their own kids
yeah.
there as well.
I just want to give a quick shout out to those homeschool moms.
Yes.
You guys rock.
Yeah. yeah.
and I have I have major respect for you, but also in this season there's a grace upon us to do that as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So I'm learning things that I wasn't involved in because
yeah.
I trust, well, my kid's 15, so he's got
yeah.
a little bit more responsibility. But I will say my two college kids are home too. So that's
yeah.
a real, real fun time.
Yeah. We've never mud wrestled so much in all of our years. It's crazy.
God.
I'm telling you, it's nuts. Man, we've bonded. I'm just telling you what.
Right.
But you know, the truth be told, I mean, there are a lot of families struggling during this time. There's a lot who aren't, but there are a lot who are.
And, so how do we minister to people
yeah.
in that deal? You're a youth pastor.
Yeah.
Parents of young children.
Yeah.
And
we get contacted, a lot. Just concerning prayer for our family. Hey, look, you know, tension. We were kind of joking about strife and tension earlier, but it's a real thing, and it's
yeah.
a real way to kill your faith. It's a real way. Listen, at a time when we should be fasting and praying to end whatever this thing is, I think the devil would love nothing more than to get into our family.
We can redeem this time, can't
That's
we?
Right. Yes. We sure can.
I think it's the
we
time
sure can.
To do that, to get
yeah.
grow stronger as a family, to grow stronger spiritually. I know everybody is so quiet right now, but I think that's a good time to get quiet in the Word, too. We're so fast-paced. We're so go, go, go.
Okay, Lauren, that goes directly to Stephen's question, and we want you to send in your questions as well. You can text them at 682-302-1301, 682-302-1301, or you can go to Ask Home Group at govictory.com, or if you're on Facebook, I have the iPad right here. It comes directly to me. Stephen asked this: how can I tell the difference between my own thoughts and God speaking to me? I have trouble in this area. You just talked about learning to hear Him. How do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
By spending time with Him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different for everybody. I can't say that. But even Quest was
yeah.
telling me, just as of recently, I really feel like I have now like a defined, this is how I hear God.
Like I'm realizing, I know I'm hearing the Lord, and it wasn't pizza last night. I'm telling you, I'm hearing from God.
Yeah.
But I think if we were to be really real about, you know, man, I don't know if I'm hearing from the Lord or if this is my imagination or what.
Well, it's all gonna be His Word from the Bible. It's not going
yeah.
to stray from that.
God will never contradict His
right.
Word, of course. And then furthermore, you know, when you call me on the phone, I know I have caller ID, but if I didn't and you called me, I would say, who's this?
Yeah.
Who is calling me on the I know it's you because I know your voice. I've spent enough time with your voice.
Since you do youth.
Yeah, yeah. Youth ministry.
Things. I'm reminded of Samuel. You remember that?
Yeah.
And he thought it was Eli.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he went to Eli, what, a couple of times, right?
Yeah.
I'll say this. Sometimes I believe you've heard, who was it? That was Stephen. Stephen, I believe you've heard his voice, and it sounded like somebody else. Mm-hmm. It sounded like the authority in your life, whoever that authority, might have sounded like your mom or dad.
That's good.
I don't know how old you are. Might have sounded like your pastor. Mm-hmm. It might have sounded just like Pastor George. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? That's probably the Lord, yeah, because he speaks to you, yeah, in authority.
That's right.
This is why that the centurion got his attention. Yeah. I'm a man of authority. You're a man of authority. All you got to do is say the word.
Yeah.
And so I've learned to listen to that. There's been times I thought I heard my dad say something and I went, wait a second, I need to listen to that. Or I've heard Pastor George. I've heard Pastor Terry,
yeah,
in my head, mm-hmm, on a certain thing. And I realized, okay, that's my spiritual covering. So guess what? That's, yeah, probably from the Lord. Now I, yeah, go to the word and I check that out.
Uh-huh.
With that. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
Is that a good way to begin to learn?
Yes.
Yeah, when you think you're hearing from the Lord, it'll never contradict his word.
Right. So young people, it might sound like Pastor Quest, mm-hmm, or your mom and dad.
So sorry about that. Well, God, oh no.
Well, the whole mud wrestling deal.
Oh no.
That wasn't God, folks.
That was not, that was pizza. That was not God.
Yeah.
My daughter and I are vulnerable group. We are in a vulnerable group. Live over 20 miles from town, no neighbors, no help. We hear that Walmart and other stores are not fully stocked, and they limit items. We're running low on things. We don't know what we'll do or how to get help. And we're both weak in faith. She's terrified of the virus. So here's her daughter. It's younger. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking teens here. We're terrified that the virus is going to get us. How do you speak to her, that young girl that's, mm-hmm, terrified of the virus?
Well, I think number one, you admitted yourself, and number one, it's okay to say, hey, look, I'm not there yet. I don't feel like I'm all there in faith. You know what I mean? It's not a competition. At the same time, I really believe that the Lord will meet you where you're at and allow you to continue growing in your walk with God. Number one, I would never live in fear of any virus, especially when you start looking at the facts of this thing. I wouldn't live in fear of anything, biblically speaking. And I know it's always easier said than done.
It is.
But the point is to speak it until it becomes the way you think. The quickest way to change the way you think is to start saying differently. You just said you're weak in faith. Let's start changing that until you begin to get stronger in your faith. You know what? I'm strong in faith. This virus will not come by me. And the way to build confidence in that is to actually know his word. So you can't be weak in faith and know his word.
Okay, so let me ask you a question.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Is it possible for me to have doubt in my head, absolutely, and still be in faith?
Absolutely. Do you have a pulse? Okay, you got a pulse. You're going to struggle with doubt. You know, so long as we're human, we're going to struggle with a bit of doubt.
So
the question is how we respond.
In my head, if I've got things that are going on in my head,
yeah,
that doesn't mean I'm not in faith.
No, I don't think it means you're not in faith. I love something Brother Hagin said, Dad Hagin. He said, you know, a bird can fly over your head, but it's another thing to let a bird build a nest in your hair. And so I think it's what we do. Paul said to take every thought captive.
Yeah.
Yes, it's easier said than done, but if you don't ever start, you'll always be weak.
So how do I take the thought captive? How do I do that?
I think it's by, I think here's how you take a thought captive. It's by what you accept. You can let a bird fly over, or you can allow it to land and build a nest. I think it's what you accept as truth over your life. That's why I keep pointing back to the word. How can the word of God start to become truth in your life? By what you accept and what you allow to become your reality. So if I continue to think that this virus is going to show up like a big boogeyman in the middle of the night and eat my lunch, well, I'm not acting in faith, and I'm continuing to believe.
Well, actually you are. You're actually acting in fear, which
fear
is...
Fear is
the opposite.
Faith in reverse.
Yeah.
Right?
Fear.
It, it works the same way. And most people will invest fear, they'll invest their thoughts in an area that nothing may ever come of it.
I think sometimes, you know, with faith, people think that it's a feeling. And right. Brother Copeland's been touching on this a lot this week, is faith is not a feeling. So the feeling is something that the enemy's trying to,
that's right,
alert you about, or even your own senses. But faith is the ability to walk out through something and know, mm-hmm, immediately, I'm, yeah, going to do this in response to the thought, mm-hmm, I'm going to do the opposite.
That's right. Yeah. When Joshua was facing Jericho, God spoke to him. You know the guy was terrified. I mean, give me.
Well, he told him, didn't he, in Joshua 1.
He told him.
Be courageous.
Be courageous. You wouldn't have to tell me to be courageous if I just was.
That's true. Yeah.
You wouldn't have to tell me to be of good cheer if I was of good cheer anyway. So I wouldn't say, here's a sword, if I didn't think you'd ever need it, right? You know, God's not crazy. God knows what he's doing. At the same time, you and I have got to be able to take that sword when it's given, to take what he says to do, act on the word of God, but begin to say yes to the truth. It is difficult if you're not intentional about it, and it takes repetition. Any muscle that grows, it doesn't grow from one rep. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when they're marching around Jericho, it would be easier if a brick at a time fell off. Right? That wasn't the case. It wasn't until the last second that thing came down. Mm-hmm. So most of the time we want to feel like we're in faith, but we're shaking in our knees. And I think what Joshua did, he didn't act on how he felt. If he acted on how he felt, I don't know if any of us would be here today. Excuse me.
Okay, here we go. So your home group, we've been taking your questions and comments. They're coming in. We'll get to as many as we can. Okay, ladies, here we go. Liz, here's your question, Liz. I have two preschool age children. Do you have any tips for me? Help.
Yeah, get a good pair of headphones. That's what you
need. Oh, my goodness.
Real good quality pair of headphones. Just kidding. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, here we have groups. We have like a mom's life group. And so I would constantly just be searching for those kind of things to do with them. I am a huge fan of Pinterest. And I always find fun things to do with them. Yeah. I mean, we have the Super Kids programming that they have aired on Sundays.
Which they love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, just finding little things to do.
Also, one of the things, when we used to have crisis times in California, the fires, and we would be secluded for times, I remember just getting creative. I would pitch a tent in the living room.
Yep.
Why? Because it's different and we're going to have fun. It's the great time I broke out the Halloween candy or whatever, you know, we're going to do something different to take their mind off of what we're doing, but make it fun. And they, we were talking earlier, their world is their world, and it may be a little small, but we can make it fun and different. And so keeping it lively, keeping it fun, always centered in faith. But at the same time, it's just, you've got to make it fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Make it fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of families going on little walks. I mean, I've taken the kids on walks, take chalk and, you know, draw lines so the next person can come by and see something that just brightens your day. Yeah, I wore yellow to brighten my day. Like, have something fun. Like, okay, kids, let's all, you know, dress up like this today, or let's, you know, play this, build a fort,
I think it's commanding your home. When you're creative, but also
commanding your home.
I can't tell you how many parents have emailed in or texted me who have said, how do I take charge of the atmosphere of my home? And without going too far into that, being creative, keeping it light, keeping it full of faith. When questions of fear and doubt regarding circumstances come up, it's the ability to answer those questions, but just continue to lead and guide your house. It's awesome.
And we have worship on in our home
all the time. That's all they know.
Yeah.
And you know, that's just.
They break out their instruments. They build pulpits out of foam things and preach to us. And he's really good at taking video of it. But
So that's where you get your notes from, huh?
That's it. Justice James.
That's awesome.
I get all my best sermons from my six-year-old. It's great.
No, it's actually
good. They do teach us a lot, though. They do.
Yeah, they do.
I noticed our guys and, you know, two college-age students, one high school-age students, and I walked in the other day, and I'm looking, and they're playing board games, and I went,
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yeah. And I wanted to think, who came in here and replaced all of my children with the exact duplicates of these? But
yeah,
I think that's been, you know, as much as the social media, we're using it tonight, is a blessing in this time. Churches are able to have services with their congregants. I'm also seeing people put stuff down and actually begin to talk to each other again.
That's right.
Yep.
And so that's the blessing of this. When you're sheltered in place, know that your brothers and sisters in the Lord did this long before. And it's really funny because we've gone back to the way the church started, was at home.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we're doing
home group.
We're doing that again. Home group. And we're taking your questions. You can text them at 682. I like that segue. Thanks for throwing me that. 682-302-1301 in the United States. Ask home group at govictory.com. Or if you're on Facebook, go ahead and type them in. My daughter is struggling with her belief in God being real. How do I help her trust him when she's in fear?
This kind of takes me back to what we were just saying a minute ago, where the best way we can help our children is by being the example. I can't help my kids stay out of fear if my knees are trembling as a dad all the time, and they know it, and they see it.
If you're feeding the fear by watching the news and all of that, that's why I said we have worship on.
I'm going to answer that question.
Sorry, go ahead.
We're answering that question. Yeah. I don't want anyone to feel like we're.
Yeah, we got about 2 minutes.
We're segueing. So you know, we talk about taking control of the atmosphere of your home. You do that. I'm not trying to oversimplify or you do that through the word. I mean, your kids will start to see if your kids don't see it working in you, mm-hmm. they're not seeing it working. That needs to sink in.
Yeah.
If they're not seeing it work in me, they're not seeing it work.
So how do I engage? Here's another text.
Yeah.
How do I engage my teens more at this time?
How do you gauge them?
How do I engage them?
Engage with them?
Teenagers.
I think it's being intentional. I hate oversimplifying it, but it really, if you go back to the basics of engaging with them, finding ways to talk about what's going on. I think one of the biggest things that I see is a lack of conversation between parent and teen. I don't know what to say to them. And I think if we just break the ice and start asking some of the questions, where are you in your faith? Parents who are, you know, parents, be willing to answer hard questions with your kids, but also—
Is it okay to say you don't know?
Oh. Absolutely. In fact, one of the strongest things you can do for your child is say, that's a great question, I don't know. They see transparency in you, but they also see your ability to handle a situation without even always knowing the answer. I want to be like dad. I want to be like mom.
So I know it's really hard for Word of Faith people, and that's what we are, to sometimes not get preachy.
Yeah.
With your kids, or yeah. want to correct. That's a bad confession, or that. And so, how do you walk that balance? Because I know you hear that.
Yeah, I think the most helpful thing is when your child sees your humanity, but watches the way you balance and handle your humanity, where there's doubt, there's fear, there's frustration, there's seasons and bouts of depression, things of that nature. I think when your kids can see the realness of who you are, they're that much able to go, you know what? Dad dealt with this once. Mom dealt with this once.
Do me a favor.
You know? Yeah.
Pray for these families. Absolutely. And these teens, and let's come against that child abuse thing, and then I want you to tell us again how to watch.
Absolutely.
1440. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Father God, I thank you today for what you are doing for all of our parents, all of our students who are watching online. Father God, I thank you that we don't have spirits of fear, Father God, spirits of frustration. Father, we cast that down right now in Jesus' name. And instead, we pick up your perfect peace, Father God. We pick up our sword of the Spirit, Father God. We say yes to the fruit or proof of the Spirit, and that fruit of the Spirit, Father, is proof of our communion with you and our walk with you. And Father God, I thank you that as you help us to lead our homes, Father God, I thank you that you give us the words to speak, the thoughts to think as we continue to dive into your word, Father God. I thank you that you would reveal the path that we're to take, the way that we're supposed to lead and guide our children. And Father God, I thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom.
Amen.
And so, Father, we are intentional about bringing the Spirit of the Lord into our homes right now. The Spirit of the Lord into our home. The Spirit of the Lord into our conversations. May the Spirit of the Lord be in operation at our kitchen tables, Father God, that when our spouses are communicating, that our children would just, it would ooze faith and it would ooze confidence in God's ability to do what he said he would do for us. And so, Father, we continue to lean into you. We're not backing off. Just because we can't be in church, it doesn't mean we back off of the things of God. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, we love you. We lean into you today. And I know that all of our viewers today are going to continue to grow and to lean into this. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name, Amen. And
so we also have the prayer line up. Yeah. The prayer ministers are here, ready to minister to you in the United States. It's right there, 877-281-6297. 877-281-6297. Guys, thank you so much for being with us. Now, listen, we're going to take a little break here. You got to come back because one of the top nurses in all of North Texas. Yeah, seriously, will be with us. Howard and Vanessa Price. Pierce will be with us in just a moment. Howard and Vanessa Pierce, thank you. We'll be right back right after this.
What about 2020? Join us for a three-part special this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday with Pastor George Pearson's 8 p.m. Eastern, only on Victory.
Hey, I'm John Jester.
And I'm Tim Fox.
Join us Monday through Friday live on Victory for morning prayer. 9:30 Eastern, you don't want to miss it.
Eagle Mountain International Church invites you to watch their live services this Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, only on Victory.
Every seat in Kenneth Copeland Bible College has a story, a legacy. Who will you be?
Because from now on, you're going to come to that hill and you're going to throw her back down in a low gear and you're going to say, we're going up this mountain, glory to God, and we're going to the top. And you get to the top and you'll say, I wonder why I hadn't done this before. It is so wonderful. Where's the next mountain? I'm ready to climb. And in this climate, saith the Lord, you are being surrounded by the moving of the Spirit.
We have a seat for you. Apply now at kcbiblecollege.org and revive your faith. Discover your call.
Victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Glory to God.
All right, here we go. We are back, part two of your home group, and it's good to be back with you. We missed you. Wonderful 2 weeks with Brother Copeland, really hitting this thing in faith that's going on, not just in the United States, but around this world, this corona thing, this COVID-19. And I want to introduce you to our next guest, Greg Stevens, Michelle Stevens with me, and I've got the iPad. If you just joined us, and all your questions and comments are coming in right there at the bottom of the screen, how you can do it. Howard Pierce worked as a major aircraft defense company for over 41 years, so you know what that's like to work in government situations and government crises. And Vanessa has been a registered nurse since 1974, working mainly in the emergency room. They lived in Israel for almost 2 years, and in 04 and 05, they've been at Eagle Mountain International Church since 1996. This year, Vanessa was nominated and selected to be in a special group of registered nurses, the Dallas-Fort Worth Great 100 Nurses. There are over 50,000 nurses in North Texas community. 800 were submitted, only 100 were chosen, and you're one of them. And so I want to welcome Howard and Vanessa Pierce to Home Group tonight. Listen, these people know the word.
Yes.
So questions and comments for them and what's going on. And we're keeping our distance. Yes. And I mentioned before, the studio has even less people in it now. And the cameras are robotic in the control room. And so we are obeying the laws of the land. We're still having church. Well, I'm the church. You didn't shut the church down. You didn't keep me from preaching Jesus. We're still doing that. Yeah. We're just doing it in compliance. Mm-hmm. And Vanessa, you said something to me before we went on the air about being compliant. And I think you used the analogy of a seatbelt. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Some people think that because we are doing what the government's asked us to do, that we're not in faith, that we're not doing like John G. Lake and putting the virus in our hand and expecting that it's going to die. And there's a place for that. But in the same way, we drive our cars, we wear a seatbelt. And I would wear my seatbelt even if I wasn't, even if it wasn't the law. We wear helmets when we ride a motorcycle. There's a number of different things that we do. So am I not in faith when I'm driving the car because I put my seatbelt on? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. And so we're attacking this in faith. And doing what we're asked, it doesn't go against the church, the things that the government has asked us to do. And so we're doing it in obedience, and in obedience is safety.
Yes.
How many times have you heard Brother Copeland talk about when you get out ahead of the speed limit, you're outside of that obedience of what the law is? And so we are in a special place of protection because of obedience.
So what do you tell a person, and this is, Keisha, your question here. What do I tell someone when people say that they believe God sent this? You're medically trained. This isn't
absolutely something he did. Even our news media or government was talking about whether this is an act of God or not in the way that they use the terminology, because it makes a difference in whether insurance pays or doesn't pay,
wow,
whether it's an act of God. We know that the scripture says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah. And Jesus said that I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so he is not the author of sickness and disease. He doesn't need to have the tools of Satan to teach us a lesson.
Right.
No,
will we learn something out of this? Will good come out of this?
He teaches us from his word, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
He doesn't teach us. Right.
And so he doesn't have to have disease to teach us a lesson. We're going to learn out of it, and we're going to take away many different things that will help even with future illnesses and all. But I don't believe that God is the author of sickness and disease, and that he has brought this on the nation or anyone else to teach us a lesson.
Right. Now, amen. Both of you are still working.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to mention which health care facility thing you work for. We won't mention which aerospace company you work for.
Right.
As well. What are you doing? What are you guys doing at your job? I mean, are people not working there right now?
Well, we are working. We're one of the essential groups of people that have been asked to continue to work to support our government. And so it's everybody that actually does touch labor on the aircraft, we're working. And a lot of the people up in the manufacturing offices, the engineering offices, they work from home, because they can take their computer with them and work from home. We can't do that. We're very busy working on aircraft, and so we have to be there. Mm-hmm. And we're around a lot of people.
So have you noticed any change in the way people at work interact with each other? Or
yes, I have. It's really odd to see how people have become very somber about mm-hmm. this, because they know something is up, and when they see it on the news every day, and they're really a little bit on the worried side. But it's given me a great opportunity.
So that's what I was going to ask you. Have they treated you differently? They know. I mean, I know you, and
right.
If you know Howard at all, you know his faith. I mean, if you've been around you very
long. And everybody that works around me knows that they know I'm a Christian, and I don't make any bones about it. And so I don't miss an opportunity to share with people. Mm. And I've had quite a few opportunities to talk to people,
mm-hmm.
and just encourage them to trust God through this. And
Have you seen people come to you?
I haven't had people actually come to me and ask me questions about that, but I've had a lot of opportunities just talking with people, and God gives me an opening, and I just jump right in there. And boy, and almost every time they say, you know what, I really needed that.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, I needed that. And so it gives a lot of peace to them when you can minister the word to them. And there's been about three times that I've actually went over and I said, let's come over here. I'd get my Bible out, and I would actually go through Psalms 91.
Mm.
So you are light in the darkness.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
So you guys, do you wear masks now? Or you do things
I was wearing a mask today, and there are a few people that wear a mask, but most of the people, they say, where did you get that?
Yeah.
And I say, well, my wife brought this home from the hospital. And so I think
now you have a side business.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just joking.
There would be a lot of people wearing masks.
No, that's not doing that. He's not doing that. So
there would be a lot of them wearing masks if they had the opportunity.
So has this changed what you guys do?
Very much. that, and the rules keep changing almost daily as more information comes in. In the beginning, they were restricting visitors, how many you could have and all. And now most of the hospitals have gone to where there is no visitors in the hospital. A few exceptions. Labor and delivery can have one, so she has to choose between a doula and her significant other. In surgeries, they're doing it alone and what they can do on the phone and all. So hardly any visitors are allowed in the hospital at all. All the staff are wearing masks now, even in the hallways. And again, it's all trying to prevent additional cases of disease because of knowing that there are people who are very low symptoms, mild symptoms, that don't even know that they might possibly have the disease.
Okay, so tell me about that now, because that's been on here a lot.
So in the beginning, they first said that if you had a cough, if you had fever and shortness of breath, you might have COVID-19 and should call your provider, call hotlines, whatever. Go to the emergency room if you're really having shortness of breath. And then as time has gone, all since around December and January, as time has gone by, that they're starting to say, well, but you might also have runny nose, sore throat. Some of the things they said in the beginning were not symptoms that they're saying now it may be. Wow. And they even know that there are some people who either have no symptoms or no symptoms that are serious enough to really think that they're sick that could be positive for the disease.
So the majority of the people, though, that have been tested, we heard from the government.
Over 90%.
Are negative. That they don't have it. Okay, well, that'll provide you some comfort. We do have this, and we are taking your questions and comments, and here's your chance to ask one of the top 100 nurses in all of North Texas. There's a chance right here. Here's one, and Judith, we are praying with you and for you. I've been speaking Psalm 91, verse 10, over my house since before the start of COVID-19. She says, I tested positive last Friday. I feel like I've done something wrong. Obviously, the word never fails. And my two daughters now have symptoms. I've called in on the prayer line for prayer. Thank you for doing that. The prayer line is open. And you have trained ministers that will pray with you. She says, I'm puzzled.
That, what I would say there is that we don't always have the answers in our spiritual walk. God will be faithful to tell you what you need to know. And if there is an area that maybe you need to tweak or change or something, but to not get into fear about this.
Yes.
And sometimes the scriptures you stand on are not the healing scriptures, but the scriptures that are peace, that come against fear. And so let the Lord guide and lead you in the way that in the scriptures, you need to be standing.
And we are agreeing. You are going to rise up quickly.
Amen.
And the majority of the people are recovering from
this. Yes, absolutely.
Numbers of mortality rate is very low on this.
In the United States, currently, I'm thinking it's close to 450,000 cases. And that number is constantly changing. But we are getting ready to start seeing a decline. It may not be tomorrow, but it is coming that we're going to see a decline. But interestingly is that the state of New York has over 56,000 in the state, 25,000 or more in the city of New York, out of that 500 or 450 cases.
Is that just because of the concentration of people, you think?
I saw a picture on the news even just yesterday of a subway car at 5:30 in the morning packed with people. Yeah. So, that there are the urban areas and how concentrated.
Because I can drive home from here and almost see as many cows as I do people, and that's just different in New York City. And Judith, just for you, I want to play a clip from Brother Copeland, because he says this: faith is our resource, our power, and our ability to receive. Faith changes every situation when you apply it. Watch this. We'll be right back.
Listen to what I found.
Oh, good.
In Gloria Jean's Faith School notes. Faith is the resource, the power, the ability to receive the supernatural ability of God in your spirit, in your soul, in your body, and the circumstances of life. Mm. Listen to this. Faith changes every situation when applied. Faith gives freedom from the curse, poverty, disease, turmoil, and sadness.
Mm. So faith applied changes every situation. Mm-hmm. And Judith, that's what you need to do. Okay, it's not a lack of faith. It's not that you did something wrong that you have this, but you need to know now that the healing power of God is at work in your body and in your children. From this moment forward, you're getting stronger and stronger and stronger and growing in faith every single day. Amen. Keep it tuned right here to Victory, because that's all you're going to hear. It Amen. Is faith. Okay. Several things came in. Sorry, Howard, most of the stuff's coming.
That's fine. I'm just here to support her. For
Vanessa. So you just sit over there and look pretty. How long does the virus, Lisa wants to know, how long does the virus live outside of a human host?
So the New England Journal of Medicine recently came out with a statistic and some scientific data that showed that the virus could live up to 3 hours in the air, up to 4 hours on copper. Hmm. 24 hours on cardboard, 2 to 3 days on stainless steel, and 3 days on plastic. What we're not hearing, though, is that the test that they did when they tested on the 2 to 3 days on the stainless steel or plastic was that at the end of the third, that period of time, mm-hmm. less than 0.1% of the virus was still alive. So it's not the same level
of... So it's
not
the same strength.
It's not the same strength. It's not the same exposure at as it was when it was first spread there from hand to contact, from sneezing, coughing, all those kind of things. We also know that it is a droplet. Mm. And so even though it says that it's in the air, the testing was done more on aerosol and not droplet. So the weight of droplets are going to fall. And if you're keeping your 6 foot distance from people, being watchful of using hand hygiene often, cleaning the surfaces.
Okay, so talk to me about that. What's the best way for us to wash our hands and...
So washing your hands is the songs, you know, the 22nd songs, singing Happy Birthday twice, the Lord's Prayer, whatever it is that different choruses, and that we should be washing our hands, making sure that we're getting not only the palms, but the backs of our hands, the ends of our fingers, in between our fingers, and then your hands down as you're letting water drain off. Be sure your hands are good and dry after you've washed your hands. And then the alcohol gel sanitizers have to, or the hand sanitizer, at least 63%, I think it is, of alcohol in there.
That's what kills it.
And so using that.
If you have a cut on your hand, you'll know.
You'll know that it's working.
It's in there, right?
And to be sure it's dry.
Yeah.
But coughing into your elbow, coughing into the front of your shirt and not into, well, I bet the sound guys just had a fun time with that. But coughing down into your shirt, coughing into your elbow, not into your hands, and not touching your face, because we're taking the virus that might be on a surface and then putting it on our face.
That's harder to do, though. You never realize how hard it is not to touch your face.
I got this.
You got an itch.
I got an itch on my face because you said that.
Well, and then I saw a lady the other day out in the public that had a mask on, and I watched her constantly readjust right. that mask and doing the nose piece and then reaching inside her mask and kind of wiping something. And it's like
you just
defeated the purpose.
You've defeated the whole purpose of it.
Yeah. So does the mask help you if a person is just wearing it? It helps them if they're sick more than it helps the person.
They're actually coming around and saying that it does help prevent exposure. And that's the reason why in the hospitals they're having
Unless
you're touching your face under the mask. Yep.
Okay, a couple of other things. How long, Patricia, here we go. How long should a healthy adult isolate before resuming visiting families at their home?
The instruction is still 14 days.
Okay.
From the onset of either symptoms.
Okay, what are the symptoms?
So the main symptoms are cough and fever and shortness of breath. It can deteriorate. The person's health can deteriorate very, very quickly. And in a matter of a few hours.
So you'll just feel really awful fast.
Yes, if it's the typical. Yeah. But if you're that person that just has a little bit of a sniffle.
And you don't know.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
All right. Paula wants to know, is it wise for people to move into an apartment complex at this time? I guess because of the proximity of.
If you're not meeting and gathering places, you're not around the pool, you're not in close proximity, I don't see that there would be any problem. I have not seen any research or studies out there that have shown that there is a higher incidence in apartments. Now, in retirement centers, which is totally different because you've got people with comorbidities, they have other health problems, they have lung disease and age. And so we're seeing that there's more death in those facilities. But I haven't seen anything about apartments or.
Okay. Sharon wants to know, she's read that, now I'm going to see if I can get this, Plaquenil?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Z-Pak is being used to cure this. Is that true?
It is being used off-market or off-shelf, and I may still not even have the right terminology for that. It's not manufactured or researched or shown
for this
to be used for.
I see.
It's for malaria, or it's for some types of arthritis, some types of lupus that you're taking the medications for. And Zithromax is a common antibiotic. But they're using it and trying to use wisdom that they're doing the right thing for that person and weighing risk and benefits. And so it's not proven that it's, whether it's working, but anecdotally that people are saying that they're seeing people who are improving by getting the medication.
My mom worked in pathology, and so she was around like parts and dead people all the time and stuff. She smelled funny. When my mother, as a kid,
not
I grew
a
up,
nice thing to say.
Oh, my mother smelled like formula.
I get
like formaldehyde, you know. And I remember as a teenager going to buy her favorite perfume. I knew the brand of it, and I went, I smelled it, and I went, nah, that's not it. But I'm used to it mixed with the lab smell. Anyway, like that matters
off topic.
To anything, right? I took a bath when my mom got home from work, whether I needed it or not. I mean, she was just, and she still is, a germaphobe. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's not fearful, but she just lived constantly in a state of clean. I mean, some things never hit the floor. I don't know how, she could just like dive and catch it before it ever hit the floor. And I
it's
married one of those.
5 second rule.
No, there was no second rule, never hit. I married one of those, a dental hygienist as well. So it doesn't hurt us to be a little more vigilant, does it?
Not at all.
You know, the children of Israel or the Jewish people during the plague in the Middle Ages.
Ceremonial washing.
They did ceremonial washing. Mm-hmm. And they survived. You guys lived in Israel.
Yes, we did.
And you saw, and I'm going to that because it, Kathy wants to know, what is the secret for thriving in time of crisis? You saw several crises in Israel. And what was the reaction of the people, Howard?
Well, the reaction of the people when there would be a bombing somewhere, and they did not let this control their lives. They were determined that they would not let anybody control their life. And so they would clean it up, and the next day it would be business as usual. And so they're just not moved by what happens to them. They're very hardy people, and they just go on.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think they can just move on? Well, and it seems to me, it shouldn't be this way, but some Christians, it seems like we just fall apart if our routine is.
I think it's part of their heritage. They go back to the border, look at the Torah and how those people were raised up, and it's just a part of them.
It's that covenant.
Because they know they have a covenant with God.
Wow.
So
So So that's one of the secrets is going back to the Word and knowing.
Absolutely.
Knowing your covenant,
Your covenant of what
it's
the Word says.
What you're watching. What are you listening to and what are you watching? Are you getting your information on Facebook and people's memes and things that they're sending, or are you getting it from reliable sources? When in Israel, can't tell you how many times that here in the U.S. people would say, aren't you afraid to move over there? Aren't you afraid? And it was like, if people in other parts of the country only saw our news for the big cities and how many people were killed in Chicago yesterday alone with gunfire and all that, they wouldn't come to the U.S. because they'd be terrified they'd get shot.
That's such a great point. That's such a great point. I had the same thing when we went to Israel the first time and people said, aren't you afraid? And that was the number one question, not how wonderful was it.
We were both at the wall, and there was a bomb thing that happened while we were at the wall. I didn't even know anything had happened.
Yeah. So I mean, that's such a great point. Because it is the sources that you're listening to is a very, very big thing.
We've got this text that came in, and we just have a few minutes left. I'm sorry, I'm not going to get to all of them. Text that came in, we're hearing that nurses are not provided the protective gear they need. Have you experienced that?
I have not experienced that at all. That we have had everything that we've needed. Now, I'm not in the ER anymore, and so I don't know if they're having problems with some of the special respirator, the N95 mask or not.
So now we do know this, and we reported on it on Victory Update a day or two ago, that there are what we call CON laws or Certificate of Need laws in 35 states, that some states, the state can't order, the hospital can't just add beds or respirators or equipment without going through a governmental board to determine what they need. So you may live in one of those states where there are shortages because the legislature is involved.
Yes.
And how many beds can be in Texas is not one of those.
Well, and even in New York City, to have over 26,000 cases or whatever it is.
Yeah. And they're one of those states. You have some websites for us. I want to get to that very quickly.
And so I wrote them down. CDC.gov, coronavirus.gov, Baylor Scott & White has a website. It's bswhealth.com. And then Texas Health Resources has texashealth.org. They also have a hotline of 682-236-7601, and that hotline is with a nurse answering questions 24/7.
Perfect. Go to the source.
Wonderful.
Also, you can go to our prayer line if you want somebody to agree with you. Final thought, let me say this. The best way we can help our children is to be examples before them. And God is not the author of sickness and disease. This is not a judgment from Him. John 10:10 shows us who the thief is, and it's not God. He's the one who brings life more abundantly. So here's the deal. Depend on Him. Pray the word over yourself and your family. Mm-hmm. Comfort your family and friends with hope and with faith, like you've heard Howard do. It's important that you attend church with your family, even if it's only online. It will build your faith and help get you through this time. Our prayer line in the United States is 877-281-6297. Join us tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern, for morning prayer. We're going to agree right then live. You can call right then, and we're praying over you. Watch our live services this Sunday with Pastor George and Terry Pearson, and they are back at 10 a.m. Eastern. We'll see you then. Know this, that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord. See you in the morning.